Well, hello, radio friends, and once again, this is Minor Hawk, your radio evangelist, and I greet you in the name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thank God for this privilege and opportunity I have of telling forth the wonderful story of redeeming love, of how Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, how he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Now, friend, today we're going to open up the broadcast with a well-known tune that I'm sure most of you have heard many, many times. It's a contemporary hymn that seems to be so popular throughout the world today, and it's entitled Amazing Grace. Have your Bibles handy and care to follow me in the Scriptures, I'll be reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 14. Psalm 14, and I'll begin reading at the very beginning in verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, they have done abominable works, there is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his word. Now, friends, today, with the help of the Holy Spirit of God, I'd like to direct your attention to what we have brought before us here by that same Holy Spirit here in Psalm 14. We read here that the Lord God Jehovah is looking down upon this sinful scene here on earth. And you know, some people seem to forget that God is looking down. Yes, God sees everything that goes on. In Hebrews 4 and verse 13, we read that all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, those people, the antediluvians, seem to have forgotten that. Back in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, we read, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually. Yes, God sees everything. He knows everything we do. He knows every thought that crosses our mind. He knows every place we've ever gone. Yes, he knows what our eyes perceive as well. Back there in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 20, we read how God was looking down from heaven, and he saw that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was grievous, and their cry was great. Yes, God was displeased with what he saw there in the sinful cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know what happened then? Yes, friend, remember this. God sees everything. Hagar tells us in Genesis 16 and verse 13, Thou God seest me. Now, someone might say, well, God knows I'm trying to do the best I can. He understands that my heart is right at least. Friend, listen, don't be too sure about that. We know we're told over in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh upon the outward appearance, but God looketh upon the heart. How is your heart today, my friend? Well, if you're unsaved, you've got heart trouble. Yes, you've got a corrupt heart. In the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10, we read that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart. I try the reins. Friend, if you could see your sinful heart today, if you're unsaved, you would be ashamed. You don't realize what that heart can do. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospel by Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19 tells us what's in your heart. He says, for out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemy. And he could have added a lot more. You may go to church, my friend, you might be very religious. Yes, and yet the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in Mark 7 and verse 6, these people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Now then, we want to analyze these scriptures that we've been reading together today. And the first thing we notice as God looks down from his throne in heaven, he sees that there is none that doeth good. Yes, he says there's none that doeth good. Now there might be someone saying, well, I do good. Friend, listen. The word of God tells us in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Friend, I hope you're not trying to get to heaven by your so-called good works or religious activities. No, my friend, it'll never work. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we read, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. Did you hear that? Salvation is a free gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, in Titus 3 and verse 5, we read, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, he saved us. And yet people today are trying to please God with the efforts of their own hands. In Romans chapter 4 and verse 5, we read again, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You notice, it's not by your good works. It's not by any religious ritual. It's by faith in the finished work of Christ that you're accounted righteous in the sight of a holy God. Now, something else we notice in our portion of Scripture today is the fact that there is none seeking God. There is none that seeketh after God. That's what Paul tells us in Romans 3 and verse 11. There is none that seeketh after God. And yet there are blessings for those who do. In Ezra 8 and verse 22, we read that the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and wrath are against all them that forsake him. Friend, have you ever sought God? No, I'm afraid you've never sought God. The Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. It's only the Holy Spirit of God, through God's Word, that will give you a desire to seek God and God's salvation. Back in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, we read, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Friend, you may never have another opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And that's the reason the prophet says, seek ye the Lord when? While he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is near. Even in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ uttered those words in Matthew 6 and verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. How about your priorities, my friend? Is your first priority seeking God and God's salvation? Well, if not, you're in spiritual trouble. Even in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we read that without faith it's impossible to please God. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But you know, my friends, the history of mankind has not been one of seeking after God. Even our first parents, Adam and Eve, when they transgressed the word and will of God by partaking of the forbidden fruit, they sought to hide from God amongst the trees of the garden. They should have been seeking God for forgiveness. Ah, no. They were hiding from God, just like some of you listening in today. But we read that the Lord God was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he said, Adam, where art thou? Yes, God was seeking the sinner, but the sinner never seeks God. Now, something else we notice about the portion we've been reading is the fact that we're told that all have gone aside. All have gone aside. In other words, we're doing our own thing. Some think you can get to heaven this way, some think you can get to heaven another way. Friend, we read in Proverbs 14 and 12 that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Again, in Proverbs 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Friend, you would be wise today and listen to the counsel of God's word as brought before us by the Spirit of God. Yes, in Proverbs 15 and verse 24 we read, the way of life is above to the wise, that they might depart from hell beneath. Friend, you've got to get rid of all your preconceived ideas, your thoughts regarding how you can get to heaven. Friend, in Isaiah 55 and beginning at verse 7 we read, let the wicked forsake his way. Did you hear that? God says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Then he says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So friend, it doesn't make any difference what you and I think. It's what does God say. After all, he's the one with whom we have to do. And he makes it clear that insofar as our going astray is concerned, it will end up in spiritual death and ultimately in the lake of fire. Friend, there's only one way to heaven, and that's God's way. And God's way is God's Son. He tells us in John 14 and verse 6, I am the way, not one of the ways. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But there are some of you, I believe, listening in today, and you're just like Cain, way back there in Genesis chapter 4. He sought to please God with the efforts of his own hand. He tried to work himself into favor with God. And we're told in Jude verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain. Friend, it's either going to be your way or God's way. It can't be both. And there may be some of you listening in today, and you've been telling God no for many, many years. You've been saying, like we read in Job 21 and verse 14, and they said unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. And there are some of you listening in today, and perhaps you're young, and you're figuring, well, I've got plenty of time. I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to do my own thing. Well, friend, God has a special warning for you. Here's what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. God says, go ahead, young man or young woman. You do your own thing. You go anywhere your feet will take you. You let your eyes perceive anything they want to look upon. Yes, you enjoy it up to the full, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Now there's something else we notice from this portion of the Word of God here in Psalm 14. We read that as God looks down from heaven upon the mankind, he says, they are filthy. He says, they're filthy. Now people don't like to hear that. They don't like to be told that in the sight of a holy God, that they are spiritually filthy. Friend, listen. You and I were born filthy. Now we may not like to believe it, but it's the truth of God. I read that question over in Job 14 and verse 4. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Friend, I was born spiritually filthy. And I was born that way because I came forth from the womb of my mother who was born filthy. And my grandmother who was born filthy. And it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And we read in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore as by one man, meaning Adam, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Yes, people don't like to be told that in the sight of a holy God, they are spiritually filthy if they've never been saved through faith in the blood of Christ. You know, in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, we read that from the soles of our feet to the top of our head, there's no soundness in us. No, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, which have not been bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Friend, we're just like spiritual lepers, if we've never been saved through faith in the blood of Christ. In fact, you can sum it all up by saying, we're nothing but sin, covered with skin. Sin, covered with skin. Now again, someone might be saying, well, doesn't God realize as he looks down from heaven that I'm trying to do the best I can? I've never committed any gross sin. I haven't gone in for gross immorality. I try to live a good, clean life before God and before my fellow man. Surely this will gain me entrance into God's heaven. Well, again, my friend, I want you to know it doesn't make any difference what I say or what you say. It's what does the Word of God say? And here's what God says in Isaiah 64 and verse 6. For ye are all, A-L-L, for ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and ye all do fade as a leaf. Friend, let's be honest before God. You know as well as I do that if you and I could get to heaven by living a so-called good clean life, by being baptized, confirmed, and dedicated, joining a church, singing in a choir, teaching Sunday school, or even preaching the gospel, if we could get to heaven by reading the Bible and saying prayers, then tell me, my friends, why did Jesus die? Why did he come from heaven? Why was he born of a virgin called Mary? Why did he live a sinless life on earth and die on the old rugged cross if you and I could get to heaven by any other means? No, my friend, we have to acknowledge before God that he's telling the truth when he says that, spiritually speaking, we are filthy. We are filthy. Now, we won't take the time to go into it, but if you have the time, you read Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 23. And we read the bottom line there at the end of verses 22 and 23 when God says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, there's something else that God sees as he looks down from heaven, and he sees that those who are unsaved, whether they realize it or not, are spiritually blind. They're blind. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, we read, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, meaning the devil, hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Friend, you've been spiritually blinded. And the Apostle Paul, giving his testimony over there in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, tells how he's been sent forth to the Gentiles. Why? To open their blinded eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, so that they might receive forgiveness of sin. Friend, that's what you need today. You need forgiveness of sin. Now, how are you going to be forgiven in the sight of a holy God? Well, we've already mentioned it's not by good works or religious ritual. Well, again, we must go to the Word of God to get our answer. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, here's what we read. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's it. That's how we're saved. That's how we're born again into the family of God. We acknowledge that we're sinners. We admit we can't do a thing to save our own soul. We repent of our sin and trust in nothing but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And friend, the very moment we do that, in the sight of a holy God, we are saved. We are born again. We become children of God, and we are as sure of heaven as though we were already walking the street of gold. Friend, I plead with you today, if there's never been a time when, place where, and manner how, you were brought into the family of God through faith in the death of his Son, why not trust Jesus Christ as your Savior right now? Tomorrow may be too late. Yes, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And some of you have been hearing the gospel many, many years, and are still unsaved. I remind you of what God says in Proverbs 29 and verse 1. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. My, how clear the word of God is. And that without remedy. Now, there are other people that are listening in perhaps today, and you say, well, I'm really trying. I have a reverential fear of God. I'm afraid that if I'm not saved, I'm going to end up in hell. Friend, do you really have a reverential fear of God? If you did, then you would get saved. You know, this old world of ours, reeling like a drunken man on its axis, were really in a fearful state before God, they wouldn't be doing the things they're doing. No, we wouldn't be living in days of gross and rampant immorality as we find it all about us in the world today. No, my friend, there's no fear of God before their eyes. And yet we're told in Psalm 85 and verse 9, surely his salvation is nigh unto all them that fear him. That fear him. Again, in Psalm 103 and verse 11, God says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. That fear him. And you know, the strange part about it is the fact that there are some of you listening in today, and the reason you're not saved is because you fear man, but you don't fear God. Well, I read in Proverbs 29 and verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. It's a trap. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Friend, don't worry about what people think or what they may do to you. I remember the day I got saved, I didn't care if the whole world laughed at me. I didn't care if I was ostracized by everyone that ever knew me. The thing that was most important to me at that time was being saved or accepting Christ as my Savior. And I made the wise choice too. No, my friend, you can go from the North Pole to the South. You can go around the equator, around the world, and you won't find anyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior who was ever sorry that they did so. Friend, I hope you're not going to drop into hell because you're afraid of what other people will think. You know, the Lord tells us over in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, he says, fear not them that kill the body, and after that have not more that they can do unto you. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, meaning God, who after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, fear God. Friend, you'll never be saved until you have a reverential fear of Almighty God. Because after all, he's the one in whose hand your very breath is. He's the one who's been causing you to live day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year. How easily God could cause that little pump called the heart within your bosom. How easily he could cause it to stop pumping blood. And my friend, if he did, you would be off into eternity, either heaven or hell. The choice is up to you. And you know, God tells us back in Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Friend, I plead with you today, yes, as this broadcast of the gospel comes to the close, I plead with you to acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Acknowledge, my friend, that as God looks down from his holy throne in heaven, he sees you as a rebellious creature going down the broad road to the pit. And my friend, if you look by faith to Calvary right now and realize that it was Jesus Christ dying for you at Calvary's cross, shedding that precious blood without which there can be no remission for sins, friend, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, this book that I hold in my hand, the Bible, tells me, and mind you, it cannot lie, it tells me that you'll be saved for time, and thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father in God, again we bow in thy presence to thank thee for thy Son. We thank thee for thy love and thy mercy and thy grace expressed in his death at Calvary. We thank thee for the value and the virtue of his shed blood. And we pray thy blessing upon the word just going forth. May thy Holy Spirit even now be bringing both conviction and conversion to the hearts and souls of any who are listening in who've never been saved and born again. Pluck them as brands from the burning, for we ask it in the name of him whom thou delightest to honor, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ to receive. now some soul to say, go, Spirit, go your way. Some more convenient day, on thee I'll call. Almost persuaded, come today. Almost persuaded, turn not away. Jesus, invite to hear, angels are lingering near. Prayers rise from hearts so dear. Oh, wonder come. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, that bitter wail, almost but lost, almost but lost.
Well, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you to the Lord Jesus Christ, believe me, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry and other correspondence to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, and the zip code is 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.